We talked with the giant in the world of surf media last week. Jim Kempton was the longtime editor of Surfer Magazine, and although he no longer works there, he has continued his focus on surf media and culture. At the California Surf Museum, Jim curated an exhibit highlighting the role of surfing in the Vietnam War and the men who fought there. He spoke about it with HPR's Ryan Finnerty.
At the California Surf Museum, where I am the president, I curated an exhibit regarding surfing during the Vietnam War and the healing power of wave riding. So we called it China Beach because that was the main R&R spot that surfers went, that Marines went to, military guys went to for rest and recuperation between, you know, battle zones. And the really interesting thing about it is that one, you know, Vietnam had a very young group of servicemen. The average age was 19, and to put that in perspective, the average age in World War II was 24. So much younger guys. A disproportionate number of those people came from California and came from surfing, because surfers at that time were generally, you know, young, unemployed, fit. They passed, you know, they passed the exams, and very few of them were 4F. And they also made really great soldiers in a way, because they were so used to reading the elements and being out in the elements and understanding the constant changing environment that's in that. So there were a lot of surfers that went to Vietnam, and they were dying to go surfing. Many of them ended up in China Beach either from being wounded during a firefight, or because they were out for more than 6 months, which they recognized was about all you could take in a combat zone without getting PTSD, and some of them already had it. But we interviewed about 200 vets, and it was just fascinating to hear their stories, both about before they went and their surfing during the Vietnam War, and then, you know, the effects afterwards. Because interestingly enough, surfing went through an enormous change during the period that the Vietnam War was going on. And it went from longboards to shortboards, from short hair to long hair, from very disciplined kind of 50s style to, you know, radical 60s style. And many of the guys that went in early were completely taken aback when they arrived back in California after their tour of duty, and were kind of lost. They didn't know what to do. And of course, you know, the Vietnam veterans were not treated well like they have been respected today because of the controversial nature of the war. And they, so many of them really suffered through that. And many of them, of course, suffered during the war, because it was a very brutal war in which there were a lot of civilian casualties, and they were fought in civilian areas. So it was extremely stressful, and a lot of the guys had issues when they got back. And over that entire time that we were talking with these guys, the one thing that came through over and over again from all of them was just how surfing had been such an important part of them healing. Either while they were there, you know, by being able to take away their, you know, their stress, or when they got back, by giving them a focus and a meaning to their life again.
And we've seen now where surfing is being used to treat PTSD in veterans of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah, it's really true. The healing power of wave riding, which is the second half of the title of it, is something that now has been a proven factor, that there's something about the ocean and its tranquility, and yet it's also its power, that people can really appreciate, and that does something to the human psyche that is positive.
You mentioned that surfing underwent a transformation around the same time as the Vietnam War, and that's sort of the stereotype of the surfer from that era is long hair, counterculture, anti-war, maybe a draft dodger even. Do you think, is that a chicken and the egg situation? Was it these guys who came back from Vietnam who were surfers that sort of seeded that culture, or did it evolve and did the times shape the surf culture?
Well, I think the times shaped the surf culture in the sense that this was not something that was planned. Shortboards were just sort of discovered and invented, and they worked so well. And the change was really rapid. So back in those days, you know, in the 60s, it was rare that something would completely revolutionize in as short a time as 4 years. And that was really pretty much what happened. So if you went to Vietnam in 65 and you came back in 69, in 69 there were no longboards. Everybody had a short board. And if you'd been riding a longboard during that era in 65, you really didn't know what was going on with it, and you had to readjust. The same way with all the cultural elements, you know, of fashion and dress and speech and music, you know, just exploded during that time. But Vietnam was also a war, one of the first wars where, you know, America brought its culture to the war zone. So most of these guys were able to listen to the music. They were able to write home quickly. They were able to get on the phone and talk to their loved ones. They were able to see and hear what was going on at home. And that brought the changes in American culture a lot closer to Vietnam. And then, of course, all the hundreds of thousands of guys who were coming that were younger, you know, also affected the whole program there. And of course, the anti-war movement also very much affected the war movement.
And now we've kind of come full circle where surfers are sort of back to being the very disciplined, healthy, fit, the kind of people that, you know, as you mentioned, would make good soldiers. And you were kind of describing that earlier. And why do you think that is? What was it about surfers in those times that made for good soldiers, good fighters?
You know, I mean, the first thing, of course, is fitness. I mean, if you're out surfing 3-4 hours a day or more, you are in great shape. And very few sports can make you all round that way. You know, it's everything from doing burpees 100 times when you jump up on your board, to paddling, you know, probably several miles in a surf session, to bending, stretching, you know, being knocked off, being knocked down, you know, all of the kinds of things that might be part of martial arts, or might be part of tennis, might be part of even football. And so surfers were used to that. They were also really used to reading the environment, so knowing what the swell was doing, knowing what the wind was doing, knowing the direction of the sun and of the light and where it was going to be. All those things are just as important if you are in a war zone as if you're in a competitive arena out in the waves.
And so if the museum is in California, but for anyone listening here in Hawaii who can't make it over, can we view the exhibit online?
You can go online to californiasurfmuseum.org, and you can see all the exhibits and all the past exhibits as well. So you get a really good view of all of that. It's a really great museum. It's been in business for 30 years, 35 years now almost. And 7 days a week, if you're ever over there, it's a great place to come and visit.
That was Jim Kempton, president of the California Surf Museum. He was talking about the museum's current exhibit, China Beach, Surfers, the Vietnam War, and the Healing Power of Wave Riding. And again, if you can't make it to the museum in Oceanside, California, you can see the exhibit online. We will have a link posted on our website, hawaiipublicradio.org.